Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by Star Trek Voyager star Tuvok himself, Tim Russ.
When we do become wise, we'll learn that quite the loveliest statement in the world is, "I disagree with you." And quite the loveliest answer is, "Wonderful. Please tell me how."
Welcome back to our podcast, Quoting Gene Roddenberry. And this week, we are super lucky to have Tamara Krinsky, who is an Emmy award-winning writer, actor, host, and she's currently on Tomorrow's World Today, which is on Discovery. And I'm just going to drop this in because I read it. She got her SAG card working on Star yes. Trek. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. You do your homework.
Sometimes, lady. I want to jump right in with a quote because I kind of love, listen, I'm a cynical optimist and I love me some naive optimism. I love this quote because it's what we want, right? It's the kind of the opposite in a way of cancel culture, which is you think differently. What's going on? Let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. But in today's world, I find instead of "I disagree with you, wonderful, tell me what," it's "I disagree with you, you are now my mortal enemy." You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is why I've enjoyed doing the podcast, because you don't have to agree with me. I said we can agree to disagree yesterday to somebody on here. It's thoughts. It's just communing with other people. So Tamara, why don't you jump in and tell us what you think about this quote?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love that we get to start with this quote. And it's kind of crazy that this is from 1974 from a lecture that he gave. And here we are, you know, 40 plus years later, and we are still dealing with, can we talk about things that we disagree about? You know, it's been pretty tumultuous past couple of years. And I feel like we all so much live in our own little bubbles today. And it's really hard to have conversations with people you disagree with. People are very, very quick to shut you down. And so much of that, I think, too, is because the information that we get is so fractured because of the way the media landscape has changed.
Yeah. Thank you, lady. Yeah. Trent. I mean, but I think the rise of the 24-hour news cycle seemed to be a little detrimental, because I was saying on a different podcast back in the day, in the 90s, when there wasn't 24-hour news, I would like seek out Noam Chomsky books or things just to get a different opinion. What do you think, Trent?
Well, this is one of Gene's more wonderful quotes. It really showcases the beauty of disagreement. Like, Gene is telling us that we can benefit greatly from disagreeing from one another because it's another opportunity to learn. And if it's one thing that he has talked about many times in many of his quotes is, it's part of human nature to want to learn. Like, we're always learning, whether it's for pleasure or for, you know, professionally. Like, we're always learning.
Trent, do you think everyone wants to learn?
I mean, I do. They may not want to learn, you know, scholastically, or they may not want to learn the truth, or they may not. But I think people do yearn to learn new things, or maybe to be more validated in what they've already believe. I mean, I don't know if that's really learning either, but I do think that we do have an innate need to learn.
And curiosity.
It's survival of the species in a way.
No, it's really true. I wish the world was like this, because I'm an avid reader. You know, I've talked about it before on here too. The library was so important to me as a child.
Same.
Yeah, just books were a way out of wherever I was, which I'm not even saying it was that bad, but I just wanted to be somewhere else. So,
well, I think that that touches on this idea of storytelling, right? And the idea that stories are the way, or one of the ways, I think a hugely important way, that we develop empathy and we learn about things that are different, yeah. different from the way we grew up or the background or the education or all the things we've received. There's got to be a way of getting beyond that and learning about other things.
I think it's why shows like Star Trek, right? And we've, mm-hmm. Trent, we've spoken about this, that sometimes the reflection of our own yep. shadow behavior, right? We can't really look at ourselves. It's there's so much shame or whatever that comes up. So if we can see it in a TV show, right? Set in fantasy land, and it's not really fantasy land. Hopefully it'll be reality, outer space. But if we can see it over there, we can actually then take it in for ourselves. So storytelling, actors, artists, in general, I think, are great at, even with this quote, bringing up things that we can, what I think about a painting is going to be completely mm-hmm. different than what you think, yeah. you know? And we can agree to talk about it and see what we see, whether it is art or mm-hmm. politics, you know?
And when we disagree, whether we change our mind or not, we both walk away with more information than we had before. You know, we've touched upon the fact that the last few years have been very rough and the state of discourse has been difficult, to say the least, in some regards. But overwhelmingly, for most of my life, I have welcomed having conversations with people I disagree with. And it's not so much that I don't welcome it now, but, you know, the conversation, especially online, has gotten so toxic. It doesn't feel fruitful. I'm a little weary these days, but in a general sense, and what Jean is speaking about is to have a disagreement or to have a conversation where a disagreement comes up. It's a two-way street. Like, it's two people or more interacting. And if someone says they disagree with me and then they want to know why, like, that says to me that they at least respect where I'm coming from. And not that I'm going to try and convince them or change their mind, but at least I'm giving my perspective. And it's the same way, like if I'm speaking with and I disagree with them, I am very curious to know why. At the very least, if it comes from a place that, let's say, is uneducated or completely wrong, at least that tells me something about that person that I may not have known before. So, you know, in that regard, too, the exchange gives me a bit more information than I had going in.
Well, I think it touches on this idea that we just don't know what we don't mm-hmm. know, right? So something for me that's been really interesting, I have a daughter. She is just graduated elementary school. Aww. So for the last 15 months, I've been a teacher's assistant while she's been learning at home.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. You really have, haven't
that's
you?
That's a whole other conversation. But, you know, during this time, there's been a ton of chatter on Facebook and, you know, other social media platforms in the parent community, in the teacher community about, should we go back to school? Should we stay home? What's happening? And for me, what's really been illuminating are all of the different perspectives on it, you know, because I certainly have my own thoughts about it. My kid is somebody who does better when she's in school with other folks. There are all kinds of health concerns, different socioeconomic concerns, depending on where you're working and how you're working, childcare mm-hmm. concerns. And it was so wonderful. I mean, social media can be really toxic, but in this case, it was an example of an opportunity for people to really hear different perspectives about why they were making the choices they did. So if we can find those spaces and places, whether it's online, whether it's in real yes. life, whether it's a Zoom conversation, to actually have an exchange of ideas, it's a really incredible thing. It's unfortunately, it feels too rare these days.
But I love that you're open and aware, like, you know what I'm saying? And to understand there are different points of view. And as you said, different socioeconomic concerns and things for other parents going on. And I think per this quote, we all kind of come from the prism of us usually, right? And that can be rather myopic, our views sometimes. So to be able to say, hey, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I want to know. Because I started off this thing by saying, like, naive optimism, and it's not naive to think people can be like this, right? But it seems aspirational to a certain extent, because I realize I've adopted agree to disagree, because I don't want right. to offend anyone, right? And I'm interested in their point of view, but I don't care, man. I don't have a horse in the game and making you think my way. Yeah. That's my thing. It's how I think. But per this quote, it's made me think, okay, maybe I need some new language, right? To invite rather than shut it down. Because agree to disagree is we're done.
Ali, yeah.
And we're cool.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. Yeah.
I'm finished.
No, you just got my brain churning. It made me think about something that I've talked about with my therapist, because like we do. But he has talked about this idea of, are you having a conversation of information or are you having a conversation of influence? Right. So is the goal to exchange
or
ideas
egos too, mm-hmm. right? Or ego sometimes drives us very much. And my point is right. Mm-hmm. But a world where we could disagree, like diametrically opposed, but say, okay, but I kind of want to understand how you ended up there and I ended up here would be groundbreaking and might prepare us for the world that Mr. Roddenberry speaks about in all these quotes and aphorisms that we've talked about. Because tomorrow, you pointed out, this is from 74?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you unkindly pointed out that was
4 years. No. I didn't say you were from 1974. I said the quote was...
Oh, girl, I'm before that. Before that time. So it's some of these quotes seem obvious. Right on the surface when you look at them, but when we look through them through when they were said, then we see that it's a bit groundbreaking that back in the 74, when we're talking about race discord, my 80-year-old stepmother says it's worse now than it was in the
70s. Really? Wow. I've been wondering about that.
Yes. I know. I'm glad I asked her because I was curious, and to hear her say that was a little bit of a gut punch, to be honest. But we're living through history right now, and you are raising children, a child, I should say. I don't know how many more you have, but a child. And it's so important. Trent, don't you agree that it's so, like, I don't have kids. I wanted them so much and I couldn't. So I'm so excited for parents who are raising children and who are able to shape the minds of the next generation. Because I've had a 3-year-old and my 4-year-old in my high school, or I went to a kindergarten through 12th grade school in upstate New York for a while. I was called the N-word by a 4-year-old. So it's parents like you that can help us live up to this quote.
No pressure.
Yeah. it's all on you, Tamara. You know, how you doing?
And I have to be completely honest with myself. Like, it's easier to say something than to do something, like, in the heat of the moment. So Jean says, when we do become wise. So there's a wisdom that comes from having this mentality. And, you know, here we are, three like-minded individuals having a discussion, and we're all in agreement here and now. And I'm going to guess we might agree on a lot of things. But I need to remember when I'm in a situation when I may not be with someone who I quite agree with so much. And I am a very emotional person. I am a big fan of therapy. And thanks to therapy, I was able to get a handle on my my anger. I had a lot of, not anger issues, but like I was very explosive when I would get, I'd scream. And it was like not a healthy way to communicate. So I catch myself when I'm in those situations where I'm emotionally charged and my temperature goes up and it's like, when I finally become wise, as Jean says, take a moment, take a breath, and then open myself up for hearing what the other person has to say, even if it's something that is so diametrically opposed to what I believe. And
Trent, can I jump in and say he just said something so important that I'm actually writing about for my next book, which is find your cool down point, people. We're wrapping this episode up, but I want to leave on this because Trent said, I get, me too, Trent. I'm the same way. I'm very Scorpio reactive, right? But I have learned to just calm the fuck down and shut up. No, I mean, and there's a nicer way to say that, but just to be quiet, don't react in the moment. I've had to learn, okay, don't answer this email right now. Wait 45 minutes or 2 hours, whatever your cool down point is tomorrow.
See, I get the opposite. So I'm a Libra, so very, lots of balance, very even tones. So it takes a while to ramp me up, but once you do, watch out. However, I get the opposite though, because I'm just so taking in information and weighing different pieces of information. Yeah. Sometimes people think, oh, she's not really engaged.
Someone explained it to me this way with air signs and water signs. Like, well, I'm a Scorpio water sign, that we feel things first. And then we filter it up to our brain, whereas an air sign thinks first, thinks about it a lot, and then filters it down.
Unless you have a Pisces moon, which is a water sign, which governs your emotions. But that's,
Thank God you need that air.
And
you
I'm
need
Team
that
Cancer over here, and it's my birth month. So I want to say, yes, I get angry, and then I get really sad about having to have that whole emotional explosion, and then I'm probably going to cry about it. That's the truth.
All right, you guys. Trent, anything else before we wrap up?
The one
on this
last
episode?
Thing I really want to say is I got to give a shout out to Tim Russ and the way he read today's quote. He read it so expertly, and I love him so much. And as much as I love Spock, I have to say that Tuvok is my favorite Star Trek Vulcan. And props to Tim Russ, who appeared in 4 different Star Trek franchises. He was in Star Trek Generations. He was in The Next Generation. He was in Deep Space Nine. And of course, he was the chief of security on Star Trek Voyager. So Tim Russ, I love you. Thank you for reading today's quote for us. And you gentle listeners, if you would like to check out video of Tim reading today's quote, you can check it out on our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
where we're lucky enough to have Tamara Krinsky for the whole week. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.